It's great to visit with Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints, wirepoints.org on the World Wide Web. Catch up with him and find out what the latest and greatest or what some of the highlights and maybe some of the lowlights may be. How are you, my friend? Good to catch up with you.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. It was interesting that when you, shot me some ideas of what we may talk about today, it was something that I touched briefly on yesterday, and I went home and had a conversation with Mrs. Daly last night, and, she came up with the exact same answer that I did, which it seems to be the same exact answer that you guys came up with, when it comes to, what former Governor Quinn has been pushing with this property tax relief measure that is on the ballot coming up in less than 3 weeks, that it's basically just, just another way to, try to kill more business in the state of Illinois and really just not help anything out in the long run.
My gosh, you'd think that the legislators would have learned their lesson that, hey, last time they put a big progressive tax, the people killed it, and that means that a lot of Democrats opposed it as well because it was enough to go against Pritzker when he tried to do that progressive tax. And here they are back again trying to do a surcharge, what they're calling a surcharge, a 3% tax on income greater than $1 million. Now, it used to be that $1 million is a big deal. I think there's a lot of, successful but not crazy rich people out there making that much money.
Right.
But here you go again. You got to remember, you got to respect the taxpayer. Especially got to respect the big ones who already pay practically all the taxes anyway. And what we know is they can move to other states where taxation is more friendly and more fair. So
I'm just going to say it really is just like a shell game because of the fact that, yes, they can go ahead and try to get this passed through and call it whatever pretty name they want to. We saw that, with Amendment 1 that went through in the last go around, and look what we're dealing with from that. But with this thing, the voters back in 2020 soundly rejected, and I think it made Governor Pritzker mad, soundly rejected his progressive tax idea because people realize that that will do nothing but drive businesses and companies out of the state. And then there are a lot of people that also, much like me, because that don't believe that they are going to put this in a special trust to be able to, provide tax relief for the citizens. Who believes that they will actually do that? They will look at that pot of money and figure out another social program or another handout to be able to help folks with.
Well, just look at today's moment right now. The CTU is going to, the Chicago Teachers Union is going to threaten a strike again. Mayor Brandon Johnson is looking for $1 billion from Springfield. If push came to shove, would they get property tax relief or give it to the unions? And we've seen what they do over and over again. They will take care of the unions because that's where the votes come from for the current batch of legislators. So we can't, the thing is, we can't trust anything they say, basically.
That's unfortunate, because these are the people that we elect to send over there and represent us, but in the end, they do not do that. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, they had set up some sort of little trust fund, for property tax relief, that has never been funded, unless I'm mistaken, unless I misread something.
Well, they've got some little thing, it's teeny, and forget it. I mean, even if they have put in a teeny amount into it, property taxes have risen $1 billion a year since Governor Pritzker promised he would do something about it in 2020. So those things just keep going up, and they go up automatic, and they go up to the max. So, the thing they won't tell you instead is why are property taxes so high, and what really should be done, and that's to curtail the union power, right? To get rid of all these extra duplicative units of government. They don't talk about that at all.
That is the last thing they want to talk about. But yet this goes back to what they did before, the big tout and the big screaming when they finally passed the largest budget in state history back earlier this year, was that they're providing grocery, they're eliminating the grocery tax, the 1% grocery tax. Well, what they didn't talk about was a couple of things. They didn't talk about the fact that that tax will still have to be made up, because the only thing that does is is give the shaft to the municipalities who rely on that grocery tax, so they're going to have to come up with a tax on their own, which they are free to do without a vote by the people, according to how the legislation is written, and also the simple fact that it doesn't go in effect until January 1st of 2026. But they love to spread that good word and say, hey, we did this for the taxpayers. No, you didn't.
Yeah. You nailed it. That's exactly right. They brag about this when it's just when you know the whole story, it's just not true.
Without a question. And that goes back to the gas tax, too. They suspended that. But then we got hit with two, in 1 year. So that was...
Well, and that was after they doubled it, right?
Exactly right. It makes you want to scream.
From 19 cents to 38 cents. Yep. And then they said, oh, we're going to give you a penny relief.
Right. And then you see communities like Champaign-Urbana they're going to start imposing their own gas tax. And it will go up 7% next year and then double the following year. Brilliant, guys. Keep up the good work. Visiting with Ted Dabrowski, the president of Wirepoints on News Radio 101 FM in this Thursday edition of Decatur Today. President Trump was in Chicago earlier this week, and basically they don't like what he has to say about the city. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that, not only live in the city, but also throughout the rest of the state that look at him and say, how can you argue with him? He's not wrong.
Yeah, he said a lot of tough things, and like Trump or hate him, he's certainly gotten it partially right on Chicago. When he talks about the crime, he's defending the victims. He's defending all those people who've seen their family members killed, and he speaks really strongly about it. But he's right, because as we said, we've led the country. This will be the 13th year in a row that we lead the country in murders. I mean, that's a very sad statistic. And then he's also been harping on Chicago and Illinois' sanctuary status, and how we're letting all these people come in, and basically override a lot of the residents who struggled here all their lives in Chicago and in Illinois, and who get put in the back of the bus, when the immigrants come in.
Well, it's hard to argue. I mean, because it goes back to the education argument that you and I have always had. You can't deny the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. I mean, they are, no matter how much new math you try to apply to it, the statistics are still the same. And crime is horrendous in the city of Chicago, and somebody needs to get serious about it. But unfortunately, the mayor up there is just hell-bent and focused on, getting the rest of downstate Illinois and the rest in the state of Illinois, to pay for their budget problems.
To bail out their problems. Yeah, now Trump didn't end up saying, I don't think he said anything about Chicago in particular in this thing, which is surprising. I thought he might take a shot at the problems. But, they would have ignored him anyway. And that's the sad part, is because he's Trump, they'll ignore the truth, which is, the whole, it's amazing that Chicago has the highest black poverty rate for big cities in the country. It's got the highest black unemployment rate for big cities in the country. It's a massive fail, despite how huge the government is, despite how much efforts they spend, or they say they spend on equity and supporting the minorities. It's worse. It's like the more they do, the worse it gets, and that's how you end up having the highest black unemployment rate in the country, despite everything that they talk about.
Without a question, and that's unfortunate. And hopefully, people's eyes are getting open, and hopefully, people's eyes are open heading into the polls. Again, less than 3 weeks from now, we'll see what happens. I don't have a whole lot of hope for a lot of change in the state of Illinois, because really, the only way you're going to do it is to do it incrementally and hope that the one party that has basically been just downtrodden, which is the Republican Party in the state of Illinois, gets its act together somewhere along the line and start offering some alternatives. But I don't hold out much hope for change, when it comes to, the November election here. It just hopefully, people's eyes will be open at least to some degree as they head into the polling place. And, we'll realize, hey, we really, really need to get serious about this, because we've let it go on too long.
Well, I think people's eyes are being opened. I think, which is really good, because I think people should see that the more power they give Springfield, the worse things get. And so they may see that when it comes to crime, education, the taxes, all that stuff. The problem is their eyes are open. They're looking around for an alternative of what, you know, what to vote for that's changed, and they can't quite find it. And, you know, it's sad, but many races, there's not a competitive race. And so until that changes, and until they can open their eyes and find something attractive in the opposition, things will stay the same. So it's a big opportunity, but a lot of work to do.
Man, there is a ton of work to do. Ted Dabrowski is the president of WirePoints. You can find WirePoints online at wirepoints.org. We visit with him every couple of weeks here during Decatur Today on News Radio 101 FM. I talked about this about a month and a half ago or so. There is an energy crisis coming for the state of Illinois. And, you know, it's been a while since, you know, I talked about this. So maybe you can kind of break this down for the listener and explain exactly, A, what we're going to be looking at in the not-too-distant future. And, you know, especially when you look at folks not only here in central Illinois, but especially northern Illinois, they're going to see exponential increases in the costs of energy coming up. And by that, I mean home, electricity for their home and home heating as well.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that Governor Pritzker and his crew got so giddy when they were able to pass all these, you know, green energy, one of the biggest green energy bills in the country. And they were so giddy that they were able to cut production, a lot of the natural gas production, and try to move to green as fast as possible. The big problem we're seeing is that we've gotten rid of the stable sources of energy, those that you can, you know, turn up and turn on any time. And since they're being cut down, you have to rely more on you know, wind and solar, and sometimes at peak periods you can't get energy from those sources. And so what we're seeing is that when there's peak demand, the costs are spiking, and guess who's going to have to pay those spiking costs? Consumers. And that's what we're already seeing, that we made horrific decisions. I shouldn't say we. I say Governor Pritzker and his team made horrific decisions to cut back our stable sources of power and go to unreliable sources of power, at least for now. And we'll have to pay the price for that. And it's going to be ugly, because if it does happen, you know, you're talking about brownouts and more.
Well, and the issue is, and this is has been my stance on this, you know, since this whole discussion even began. I am not against, you know, trying to, you know, come up with alternative sources of energy, green energy. I'm a big fan of nuclear, you know, but that does not mean that it does not mean that, you know, solar is something that should be just, you know, completely dismissed. Same thing for wind power. I don't think that that's something that should be totally dismissed. But the technology is not kept up with what their dreams for this are, because they, in the process, they went ahead and just actively pushed and put down, you know, timelines to shut down coal fire plants, you know, in the attempt to say, well, we're going to go green and have zero emissions. You can't cut your nose off to spite your face, because it doesn't work, because you're going to end up, you know, creating a larger problem when you don't have those alternative, you know, the alternative original energy sources to rely on, because the technology doesn't exist for the alternative forms to meet the demand of what humanity requires at this point. And that's especially true with, you know, with the governor's dream of you know, going as much electric in the state of Illinois as humanly possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good leader first assures that he's got the alternative resources in place, ready to go, and they can perform at the peak periods, and then you free yourself of the you know, the coal-based stuff. But you don't kill the good stuff first and then hope the other stuff works. And that's exactly what they've done. They've done it backwards. They've done something that's ludicrous, and you know, in any business you would get destroyed for it.
Yeah, without a question. And there's going to be a price to pay. And unfortunately, it's going to be the consumers, it's going to be the taxpayers that are going to be the ones paying for it again here in the state of Illinois, because of these, you know, pie in the sky mandates that they've handed down in the effort to say, look, we're doing everything we can for the environment. And that's fine. Do good stuff for the environment. I'm not against that. But man, don't
do it right.
Do it right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got some interesting days ahead of us, especially, you know, unless somebody can get serious. But unfortunately, you know, the governor is not, you know, all he just talks about it. I don't see any active, you know, plans, and especially, you know, with the General Assembly coming back for the veto session coming up in November, I don't see that they're going to do anything about that. I'd like them to at least take a look at that, and I'd also like them to take a look at the, you know, getting serious about reinstating some form of the Invest in Kids Act.
Right, right. No, I think there was a little bit of good news in that Pritzker at least responded to this electricity crisis. He recognizes it. You know, it's a little bit different than the population stuff where he continues to deny the population loss. In this case, he somewhat acknowledged it. Now, the question is, like you said, nobody's doing anything about it. So until he pushes people to do something about it, we got the mess brewing.
Without a question. It is always good to catch up with you, my friend. Where can they find Wire Points, and how do they sign up for the newsletter to get it straight delivered to their mailbox every morning?
Yeah, so please come to wirepoints.org or at WirePoints on social media, and you can sign up for our daily email. We'll do the dirty work for you and get it to your mailbox.
Always appreciate it, Ted. Have a great rest of the week, and I guess we'll talk to you right before the election coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks so much, Jeff.
Take care. Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints on News Radio 101 FM. Always good to catch up with him. WirePoints.org is the website. They aggregate all the latest news from around the state of Illinois and from points beyond, because we do make, you know, national plays every once in a while. There is a ton of stuff right on there right now about the city of Chicago with Brandon Johnson. Dude's an interesting case.